We're doing a series called Throwback Sunday, and I'm taking some of the most requested sermons I've ever done over 40-some years, and redoing them. Matthew chapter 13, I believe it is. Yes, Matthew 13 says that he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." And so what I've done is we're going to do the month of June. We're going to Throwback Sunday. And I'm kind of going back over the sermons, some of the most requested ones I've ever done after some 40 years. And today we're going to talk about dreams. Everybody say dreams. How many of you dreamed last night? Listen, how many of you dreamed last night? All right. How many of you dreamed last week? Let's see, sometime in the last week you've dreamed something. All right, let me ask you, anybody here never had a dream in your entire life? Anybody here never had a dream in your entire life? All right, look, everybody in here has dreamed. And we're going to talk about that today. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would open our hearts to understand, open our minds to grasp. And Lord, that the truth that we would know would set us free. Thank you, Lord, for making us in such a wonderful, complex way. And all the different things. Get us out of our American mentality, Lord, and experience you in real life. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. One of the things that happened some years ago, and the first time I really taught on this was back in 2010. My dad's life was saved because of a dream. And my dad would not be with us today if it had not been because of a dream. And when we, as I was thinking this over this week, I was thinking of Christmas. Anybody else think of Christmas this week? Did Christmas come to your mind this week? Yeah. But I was thinking of Christmas and all the things that occurred at Christmas. The miracles, the virgin birth, the mysterious star, the magi and all that. But one of the unique things about Christmas was this thing called dreams. Because dreams were a big part of Christmas. They were a big part of how the Lord protected his son, Jesus, during that season of that first Christmas. And God used dreams to have the life of his son. And I want you to read a few of these. Look at this in Matthew chapter 1. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." Now watch this. Watch this. Go back if you would. "Behold, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." And the thing that he was considering was, he was considering to divorce his wife. And he says, "But as he was considering divorcing his wife, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying," and watch this, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." So the Bible, here is a man that's about to divorce his wife, and God uses a dream to change his direction in his life. All right, watch this. Look at the next one. "And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This is the Magi. "Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child, his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee." Do you see over and over how God, in the birth of his child, had a dream to direct and to protect and to give information to? It was a dream. So dreams are one of the ways that God speaks to our hearts. God will speak to us about a direction that we're about to do, a decision we're about to make. And God can speak to us in a dream. Psalms 139 says it this way. It says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are all your works. My soul knows it quite well." God created us with a unique way. In fact, one scientist believes that we literally dream about 500 dreams a night. Look at somebody and say, "No wonder I'm tired." Would you say, "No wonder I'm tired"? Is it warm in here or just me? Is it warm in here? It's warm in here. Who is the gatekeeper? Huh? Can you go check it? And just a degree or two, not 20 degrees, all right? Just a degree or two. That's my mom and dad, you know, they get hot, they turn that thing up 10 degrees. They get cold, they turn it down 10 degrees, you know, deal with it. I mean, on and on. And there's a debate on if dreams happen along our timeline chronologically or whether they happen. Like you can hear a noise. Anybody ever heard a noise in the night and suddenly you dream about it? Something's happening, something's going on. Somebody's knocking on your door and you're dreaming somebody's knocking on your door and on and on. So along these lines, it's very important to point out that, you know, one of the keys is this. I don't believe that there is, God is involved. God made our ability to dream. Satan didn't do that to us. It's not some abnormal something that just evolved from whatever that mankind evolved. God created us to be able to do something at nighttime when we're sleeping called dream. And dreams are very important because one day the Bible says we will give an account to God of every word and every thought we've ever thought or said. And the way he uses, I believe one of the ways he's doing that is dreams are a way that our body is made. We don't not have any idea of the capacity of our brains. You know, when they talk about what capacity we use of our brains is very, very little. And all that we know and do. And one scientist believes that literally dreaming is our mind sorting through the affairs of the day and getting the events of our days put in the memory. And what it may or may not be is a debate, but that's one of the ideas. And, so a lot of our dreams is not some specific dream that God is speaking to us to do or not do something or whatever. It's simply the way God made us. It's what our bodies do. It's what our mind does. It's what our spiritual part of us does. It begins to put them back. And it's during our sleep that through dreaming, our minds are able to process the events of the day and store it away in our memories. Sometimes if you've had a tough day, you dream about it. Some days if you've gone through things, you dream about it. And that's one of the major reasons for sleep dreaming, nothing more, nothing less. It's God, it's our mind sorting through our day. Or it's a salami you ate before you went to bed. But the processing probably accounts for about 99% of our dreams. But there is a time when God will speak to you in a dream to get you to do or not to do something in your life. He'll give you a dream about it. That's why sometimes he'll use symbolism. You'll have a dream out of the blue. I mean, a dream that's literally just why in the world did I dream about that? I never was thinking about that. I hadn't thought about that in years. And it came to my mind today. I dreamt something. And you'll begin to do that. It's hard. You know, one of the keys is you'll learn this. When the Bible says in the Old Testament, when their king called Nebuchadnezzar had a dream from God, here was the impact on his life. It says his sleep went from him. He woke up right after he dreamed it and he couldn't go back to sleep. And then it says that his spirit troubled him. He was literally beginning to think about it. He didn't know. And so it troubled him. Scientists have learned that literally you dream about 20% of the night. That in an 8-hour period, you dream about 2 hours of your night, anywhere from 90 minutes to 120 minutes of your night, of your 8-hour sleep. If you sleep 8 hours, and probably nobody here does that, but about your 8 hours, you dream about 2 hours of it. And it occurs, dreams do not occur all through the night. You have different levels of sleep. Most of you that know that pretty, you know, there's different levels of sleep. The deepest level of sleep is called REM or REM or rapid eye movement. And it's during that part of your sleep that you dream. And it occurs anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours worth of your 8 hours. And that can be, REM doesn't happen all at one time. You go through different stages of the night. You kind of wake up, you go back down, you wake up. And it can REM can last 5 minutes or it can last an hour. And babies, they've learned that babies literally, they sleep, they can do REM probably 50% of their time. That a baby, when it's sleeping, it has dreaming probably half its time. The baby is dreaming and probably of food, mostly is what I'm thinking of. And, you see a baby sleeping, his mouth just working, just thinking food. And so when you begin to think about this, and so what happens is that it occurs, and they've done all kinds of tests on people sleeping. They put the electrodes on them. They've saw what their brain waves do. They've watched the breathing patterns. They've watched their heart rate. And you should see this because sometimes during the non-REM sleep, your heart beats kind of steady, and you're breathing steady and all that. But when you go into REM and you start dreaming, sometimes there can be all kinds of reactions. You can start moving around. And when we first got married, one of the first things, it was the first time Jasmine ever talked in her sleep. The problem was she talked Armenian. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm from southern Louisiana. First time I heard Armenian, I mean, we only met each other in Israel, and we talked over the phone, and we got married, and then within the first few weeks, I mean, just wake up and have some strange language going off in your bed. See what you do out of a dead sleep, you know. Where's the God? Get the God. They've invaded us. And so all kinds of things. And but it's during this time, but during REM, the rapid eye movement, your eyes literally go back and forth, and there's a movement in your eye. It's rapid eye movement. One scientist believes that we are actually looking at our dreams. He put out there that long before 3D TV and you know, all that, you had this going on, that you literally are looking at your dreams and looking at it. And so how many has ever dreamed that you were dreaming? You ever dreamed that you were dreaming? Yeah, a lot of you have. I won't ask all the different things, all things you have dreamed about. But God's given us the ability to dream. Whether you're 5 years old, whether you're an infant, infants dream. When you're young, you dream. You dream about school. You dream about classmates. You dream about the future. You dream about all kinds of different things you dream about. And mankind's always been fascinated with this. Back during the days of Nineveh, they have a whole library of dream and dreaming and what it means and all. And but the word in the Bible, there's over 250 references to dreams. Can you imagine 250 times it speaks about God giving a dream or someone dreaming? And the word dream in the Old Testament is the word harim, H-A-R-I-A-M. And it means to make whole or healthy. That's what the Hebrew word means, to dream. It means to make whole or healthy. Because remember this, dreaming is not some odd thing that only occurs to some weird people that go to, what's that fabric store? Hancock Fabric Store. I used to always say that. Jasmine was shaking her head at me. I always think weird people go to Hancock Fabric, until I went to Hancock Fabric one time and bought some stuff. Well, who else can I offend today? Let's see how many more I can offend. To make whole or healthy. And that dreaming is a part of that in your life. It makes whole or healthy. And so it does something to you that it's a part of the process of anything else in anybody. You know, during sleep, your body restores itself. Your bones grow. The tissues renew and all this. And dreaming is a part that God's put in that it's a healthiness. It's a health to your body, health to your mind. And it's doing that. God made dreaming for a purpose. So why did God use dreams in the Bible? Why did God use dreams in the Bible? Have you ever wondered why God didn't just tell it plainly? Like, our mentality is a Greek culture where we're used to a classroom teaching, where you go, you sit in a pew, you get a classroom, you put an overhead up there, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's the way that God ought to talk. Well, look at this in the book of Acts. God's wanting to tell something to Peter. All right, Peter's walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He knows Jesus intimately. And Jesus wanted to tell Peter something. And so my brain would say, my Greek type of thinking and teaching would be, well, why don't Jesus just appear to Peter at the house? Oh, boom. Peter would have, freaked out a little bit. But then he said, sit down. I want to talk to you. The Gentiles are going to now be just like the Jews, and they're going to be able to come into the kingdom of God. That's the way it is. Get over it. Stop all your short-sightedness, Peter. Get over it. That's the way life. That's not the way God communicated to him. Look what God did. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the 6th hour to pray. Became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by the four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds of the air. And there came a voice, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, he had no doubt this was God, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." And this happened 3 times, and the thing was taken up once right back into heaven. Now, Peter was inwardly, everybody say, perplexed. Have you ever dreamed something and woke up and you were perplexed by what you dreamed? What in the world? Why did I dream that? I don't even like them. I didn't even thinking about them. I didn't know this. You're perplexed. Why didn't God just come in a dream and tell me exactly what to do and exactly what to, why didn't he go to Peter and just appear to Peter and say, Peter, do da, da, da. He says he was perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean. Behold, men were sent and it began to be clear to him. Daniel did the same thing. Look in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. He said, Daniel declared, I saw my vision by night. Behold, the four winds of heavens were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one from another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and my visions in my head alarmed me. I approached one of them and said, ask him, what is this? He told me to make known to me the interpretation of the things. And these are four great beasts, are four kings who shall rise out of the earth. And you think, why didn't God just show him, Daniel, here's the four kingdoms about to come out of the earth. If you really study it out, you find out those four beasts were in the constellations of the heavens. And if you ever read about the zodiac and the constellations, you know, satanic people have taken the zodiac and perverted it. God put the stars in the heavens. It was up there long before there was any, and those beasts are in the constellations in the heavens. And the heavens declare the glory of God. And when you see the heavens, they literally tell the gospel. They preach the gospel message. One day I'll do that on the zodiac, what it really means. It preaches the gospel. And these four beasts are representing the continents on the earth. And the Bible says, though, that God used a dream. And this was the kind of dream that he gave to Daniel. And he thought, why did God use that kind? Why did God use it? Because God made dreaming. And God, listen, God did this. You say, why would God not speak plainly? Why would God not just say it black and white, point one, point two, point three? Why does he use symbolism? Why does he use imagery? Well, the same reason he used it when he was on the earth. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Disciples came to him and said, now don't go from here. Why do you speak to them in parables? You know why? They were upset. The disciples were upset. Lord, why don't you just say it plainly? Why do you use these parables that nobody can understand? It perplexes their minds. Why don't you just say what you want to say and stop with, you know, whatever it may be. Look what he said. And he answered, said, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The reason I'm doing this is because if they're not hungry, they're not going to know. If they don't really seek me and want to and have me. See, because here, the Bible is not some novel that you can understand just like you could any other book. You can read Shakespeare and really get into it and understand it. The Bible is only discernible by the Spirit of the living God. The one that wrote it has to reveal it to you because it's more than facts and figures. It's more than just knowing the story. There are truths behind it. There are understandings. So the Bible says, Jesus said, the reason I'm doing parables is if they're not hungry, the hungry, I'll fill them. Those that seek me will find me. But those that don't, they will read the Bible. They enjoy the story. They won't get anything out of it. They won't understand it. And the same reason he gives you a dream, and sometimes the dreams are, what does that mean? Man, what's that about? Why am I dreaming that? What is that? And he does it because he does it to weed them out. Proverbs 25 says, it's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. And so God comes in to unveil the mysteries to our lives, to teach us things. Symbolism, to let you know it's not an ordinary dream. Back in 1978, the pastor of the church here asked me to come on staff. He called me up, Randy Bonacarso called me up. And I said, Randy, I thought about a day and I called him. I said, Randy, I don't really think I'm capable. I don't have any background in ministerial background. I was an electrical engineer. You know, I went 2 years through college electrical engineering. And so I don't feel qualified. I'm sorry. He said, Terry, pray about it. He wouldn't want to let me off the hook. He said, I want you to take a week, fast and pray. You call me back in a week. Well, that week I fasted and prayed. And during that week, I had a dream. And I was walking around a corner of a building, and I walk around this corner of a building, and there is Billy Graham with an axe in his hand chopping wood. Chop, chop. I'm sitting there around this corner of a building thinking, you know, just amazed. Here's Billy Graham chopping wood. And behind him was a long line of other famous people, and they were all waiting their turn to chop the wood. And I went over and got in line and said, well, I think I can do this. I can chop wood. Now, what do you think? You know what it? I woke up. I knew immediately in my mind, I'm to take the job. 40 years later, here I am, still chopping wood. Come on, somebody. All right. God can speak to you through dreams. Polycarp, he was one of the great disciples of the Apostle John, had a dream when he was a young man that he would be burned at the stake. Now, how many would not like to have that kind of dream? He dreamed he would be in Rome and he would be burned at the stake. And you know what, later in his life, at 86 years old, he was taken to Rome and he was burned at the stake. St. Augustine, who was a great leader of the early church, he lists several dreams that declare that they were important the way God led him by his dreams. Jerome, who translated the Latin Bible, literally got converted because of a dream. He wasn't even a Christian, and God gave him a dream, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he got saved by that. God is not limited to how he can speak to us. And some of the things, God, he'll do it sometimes to warn us of coming events. Sometimes he'll give specific direction in our lives. Job 33 says it this way. Listen to what it says. It says, God speaks not only once, but more than once, even though men do not regard it. One may hear God's voice in a dream. Everybody say in a dream. Just as real as you could hear God's voice walking down a street, you can hear God's voice in a dream because God speaks in dreams. He spoke to Joseph during the birth of Jesus. He spoke, over and over, he spoke to people in a dream, in a vision of the night when deep, everybody say deep sleep. You know, your deepest, and you got to read the Bible. The Bible is very particular about this. Dreams occur during the REM part of your sleep, the deepest part of your sleep. Rapid eye movement, that's your deepest part of your sleep. And the Bible, when it speaks about God giving visions and dreams, it speaks about the deep sleep. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon men while slumbering upon the bed. Not just sleeping, then God calls the deep sleep. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, terrifying them with warnings, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. See, man was going a certain way. Man had made up his mind, I'm going to do this, like Joseph had. And God may withdraw man from his purpose and cut off pride from him, disgusting him with his own disappointing self-sufficiency. He holds him back from the pit of destruction and his life from perishing by the sword. I'm going to tell you, my dad, let me get the first one. It says the Hebrew word for there to seal your instruction means admonition or direction. That God will give in a dream. God will give a word in a dream, and that it will change your direction, or it will seal it. God uses a dream to give you direction. A week ago, I had a dream about another ministry in town, and I was just dreaming, and I didn't, there was no connection with this ministry at all. And I dreamed about this ministry being connected to us. And I just woke up from my dream. I said, what would I dream about them? I don't have any connection with them. I don't have a clue. But in the dream, it was a very sour connection. I mean, I remember I'm in there and things are going bad. And I'm thinking, Lord, Lord. And listen, 3 days later, that ministry contacts us to know if we want to go in partnership with them on something. Guess what my answer was? God will speak to you in a dream. Joseph, when he was in Egypt, God gave him direction in all that he did. Another thing is to turn a person from their own direction. God will give it. You know, the Bible says the Magi, God gave the Magi. They were going to find Jesus. Herod said, go find the babe. And when you find him, come back to me. Tell me where that I can go worship him. Herod was going to go kill him. Well, the Magi go find Jesus. And when they find him, they go to sleep. In the morning, they'll get up and go back to Herod. The Bible says, in the night, God gave them a dream. Not to go back to Herod, but to depart a different way. God can change the direction of somebody. Somebody's got their mind made up what they're going to do. And God can give a dream that can change their direction. Many years ago, when I first took over the church, I had no experience about managing a complex this size. And so I grew up, in Virginia and da-da-da. And so learning something, I remember one night I had a dream and I was standing in a general store and had all these different departments and over the intercom, Pastor Terry, come to aisle number 4. And I took off on a dead run. And before I ever got there over the intercom, Pastor Terry, we need you desperately on aisle number 7. And I took around, turned back, and all my dream, that's all that happened. One aisle after another, and I was getting nothing. And I woke up and the Lord just reminded me said, I need to learn how to delegate. Come on, somebody. I need how to delegate. Stop running my day. Because I'd gone in and got my upper and lower GIs tested. How many of you ought to do that once in your life? You need to go get your upper and your lower GIs checked this one time in a life. All right. It says God will keep you from the pit. In 2010, my mom and dad lived in Mobile, Alabama. My brother and sister lived in Virginia. And they had a motorhome, so they were leisurely making their way down to Alabama. And they'd stop the night before the next day they're going to get to Alabama. So they're laying there in the sleep. And all of a sudden, in the night, my brother-in-law has a dream that my dad is dying. He jumps up, starts the motorhome, and takes off toward Alabama, rocking my sister and my niece to sleep. But he just flooring the thing. Then he gets there. Right when they get to Alabama, mom and dad's house, my dad is in the throes of a heart attack. And my brother-in-law had heart problems. He had this big thing of nitro, was able to feed it to him, call 911, get him there. And they told him, he said, if nobody had been here, your dad would have died. Because my mom was sound asleep and wouldn't have not. I mean, it was, but you know what? But listen, God can save you from the pit. And I could tell you story after story, but there was one thing after another that God has done. There was a story, one of my friends, his dad lived in Alabama. And a couple in one of the, I think it was a Korean War, two of the boys, the hometown boys, had gotten captured. They were missing in action. And they got the letter from the government saying, we apologize to you, but your sons are missing in action. And it appears that they have been killed. This friend of mine's dad had a dream that they were in a Korean war camp, prisoner of war camp. And that they needed to start really fasting and praying for God to release them. And, and so when he told this, he went to the pastor first, and the pastor said, well, let's don't give any false hope. Let's don't do that. He said, I don't know. It was so vivid. It was so real that I went and talked to them, and they told me that we need to pray for them, and on and on. And so they did. And you know what? A month and a half later, they, in the local newspaper, two local boys released from prisoner of war camp. Come on, somebody. God can speak to you. There's all kinds of dreams. I got a few of them. The reminder dreams. God can remind you about things you forgot. How many have having problems when you go into the room? You can't remember why you went in the room. How many you having that kind of problem right now? Well, God can remind you. He reminded Abraham. He gave him a dream. Reminded him of his plans. He reminded Jacob of his assurance that he was going to take care of him. Gideon. Remember Gideon? Remember Gideon didn't know if whether God was going to really use him to defeat the Midianites. There were so many of them. And so he had to, remember the fleece? He put the fleece out and God did. He still wasn't convinced. And God said, go down there to the camp and listen. And he sneaks to the edge of the Midian camp. And right on the edge of the camp, these two guys are sitting there with their back to the outside of the camp. And one of them says, guess what happened to me last night? What? I had a dream. And he said, what did you dream? I dreamed that this big old thing rolled into the camp. And this voice said, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And we were all kind of just beat up one. How many know God can use a dream just to encourage you at times? Encourage Gideon. He heard the dream this guy was having about it. You have a dream. You ever had anybody come and tell you they had a dream about you? Had one. I don't know if you remember Steve Munsell, who used to play sax here. He pastors a church now. And Steve called me. He had two dreams. He said, I had two dreams. I had a dream about you this night. Then I had another dream about you the next night. And he just conveyed the dreams that he had. And so the Lord could help. There's warning dreams. God, you remember when Abraham went into this land and Sarah, his wife, was real pretty. And the Bible says he lied and said, that's my sister, not my wife. Because they said a poor man with a pretty, beautiful wife didn't last long in those days. So he said, this is my sister. It's not my wife. And Abimelech, the king, takes her in to be his wife. He hadn't laid hands on her yet, just brings her in. And the first night she's in the house, guess what happens in the night? God comes to Abimelech in a dream. And this is the kind you don't want. The first words out of God's mouth, you're a dead man. And you know, that'll wake you up out of REM sleep. I'm going to tell you, there's some eyes going back and forth on that guy. And his rapid eye movement was the switching. And God said, he said, why? What have I done? And he said, you've taken a man's wife to be your wife. What? Who? Why? Abraham, my servant. And Abimelech says, out of the integrity of my heart, he told me it was his sister. And God says, I know you're doing integrity. That's why I'm coming to you in a dream. You better restore that man. And the Bible says the next morning he restores it. And he says, he brings Abraham and says, what have you done to me? God's speaking to me in a dream. How many know if God can speak to a heathen king in a dream, he can speak to his children in a dream? So there's things God wants to do. There's repetitive dreams. You ever had a dream more than once? You ever had a dream over and over? Woke up, had a dream, and then had it again, then had another one, and then the next day you hoard another one, and then a week or two later you had another one about the same thing. There's repetitive dreams that God does on and on. There's nightmares. Anybody in here had a nightmare? You had a nightmare. And I have a few of those in my life. All right. Now, Matthew chapter 27, watch this. This is Pilate. He's about to decide on the fate of Jesus. And he's about to either have him, he said, I have the power to crucify you or to turn you loose. What do you think, God? And watch this. Besides, while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent a word to him. Have nothing to do with that righteous man. For I have suffered much because of him today in a what? In a dream. How many know right now Pilate wished he'd listened to his wife? How many right now Pilate said, let me tell you something about your wives. Guys, God can give them a dream for you sometimes, and you need to listen to it. You need to listen when God gives a dream. I'm going to tell you, Jasmine, Jasmine will come in time. I dreamed about something. I dreamed about da, da, da. And I listen. You know why? Because I don't want to be somewhere in eternity thinking, I should have listened to my wife. I should have listened to my wife. All right? God will do that. And then he gives predictive dreams. We can do all those. You can do another time. All right. Who did God give dreams to? Who did God give dreams to? Oh, just the holy of holy people. You know, that highfalutin, spiritual people. That's the only people that get dreams. Oh, really? Let me give you the short answer. Who does God give dreams to? Anybody God wants to. He's made everybody the ability to dream. It doesn't matter if you're young, old, babies, infants, 100 years old. You dream. You dream. And he gave dreams to Pharaoh, to Nebuchadnezzar, to the baker. A baker, he was a cook. The cook of Pharaoh, the cupbearer, the guy that was a servant in the land. He gave it to the Magi, to Joseph, to Daniel. All of them. God gave dreams to whoever he wanted to. But here is the big key. He only gave the interpretation to his people. Not to Oprah Winfrey. Not to John Edwards. Not the one that won for president. He's a psychic. Not the local psychic down here. You know what was so funny? There's a psychic over on Airline Highway. One of the boys came to me one time. I was talking to a boy. He wasn't a Christian. He went in there to get his palm read. And you know what the woman told him? Said that she, I don't know if he saw it, but she told him, you need to get rid of your vehicle. I see in your veins there's going to be a terrible wreck here. And you know what he told me? He said, out in front of her place, she sells cars. Come on, somebody. Just a little baby conflict of interest there. We won't put any thing there. Interpretation only came through his people. You don't go to some psychic wacko. There's over a million websites now dealing with dreams. Over a million websites dealing with dreams. You don't get on there, well, I had a dream. Let me Google this thing and see what psychic psycho says it means. You don't go to the world to get the meaning of your dream that God gave you. And so think about that. Nebuchadnezzar had a series of dreams. And only Daniel could interpret. All his wise guys couldn't do it. Remember, Pharaoh had a dream. And all his wise men could not come up with the answer to it. And I want you to get that. Because one of the kings one time, he had a dream. And he comes to the wise men. He says, tell me the interpretation of my dream. And the wise man says, yay, O king, we will tell you. Because he said, the king has said, if you don't tell me the interpretation, you're going to die. Now, what do you think goes on in their brains? We're going to tell you. We're going to tell you the interpretation, whether it's true or not. We're going to make up something. And you know what the king did? He read their thoughts real fast. You know what he said? Just to test you, tell me the dream also. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says he was about to kill them all. And Daniel went to prayer. And God showed him the dream. And you should read it. It was a statue, a huge statue. And it was a man made of gold, and then of silver, and then of bronze, and then of iron. And you should read that. See, when Daniel told the Nebuchadnezzar the dream, that's the dream. That's what I had. That's what I saw in my dream. And you know what it was? You ought to read it, because he said, the head of gold is you, O King Babylon. And Babylon was the richest nation of gold. It was the richest nation in the whole world of gold. The next one was silver, media, the next one. And you know, Medo-Persia paid all their taxes. Everything was paid in silver. The next one was bronze. And you ought to see when Alexander the Great came under Greece, everything was bronze. The helmets were bronze. The shields were bronze. The next one was iron, was Rome. And Rome was, everything was iron in Rome. The shields, the sport. You ought to read all this stuff. It's amazing all these dreams that God gives. There's so much in them, more than just this on the surface stuff. And so God is doing this. And so God gives dreams, but the interpretation always came through his own people. Look at Daniel 2 and 28. It says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. So that's very important. Do not go to the world for the interpretation of your dreams. Only God can give the interpretation. Sigmund Freud, he always had interpretation of dreams, some sexual innuendo to it. Nobody listened. He was on drugs most of his life anyway, so nobody even follows him anymore. So remember, God gave dreams to anybody, but he always, the interpretation came through his own people. In fact, the word prophet, hesdar, means to have the ability to perceive inner vision and the revealer of dreams. That's what the word prophet means in the Old Testament. And so when it happened, always there was that. In Job 12 and 22 tells us this. It says, he uncovers the deeps out of darkness and brings deep darkness to light. Look at the next scripture. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells with him. The Bible says this. Look at the next scripture. James 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, not Oprah Winfrey, not Dr. Phil, not the local psycho down the road, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Genesis 40 and 5. I think I put the wrong scripture here, but one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker and the king of Egypt were confined in prison, each his own dream, and each dreamt with his own interpretation. Do you have verse 6? I think I forgot to put verse 6. Verse 6, because literally what God says is that only God gives the interpretation. Only God alone gives the interpretation. All right, what about today? What about today? Is all that gone? We're more civilized. We're not, you know, da-da-da. We're more brainy and all that. Let me tell you, Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 says this. What about today? In the last days it shall be, declares God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall do what? It's amazing to me that God said that, because as we get older, we sleep less. We don't, not that we don't need the sleep, it's just our body doesn't sleep as well. And as we get older, we don't have as much REM or REM or rapid eye movement, deep sleep. And yet God says in the end days, he's going to give the old people dreaming dream. Come on, somebody. Now, that just means old people here. Let me just refer, because it literally means the word old men or old men, it literally means to refer to senior, not senior citizens alone, but to men of maturity and understanding. Daniel was a young guy. Joseph was 17 years old when he started dreaming and all the dreams about his life. And the word to dream dreams mean to frequently and continually dream dreams. I'm going to tell you, God will use all kinds of things to help you. One time I had a dream. I just took over the church. And I was sleeping one night, and I dreamed. And in the heavens, I looked up in the heavens, and there was this number, this decibel number. And it was a number, it had a couple numbers, then it had a big decimal point, and it had all these numbers behind it. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, if that decimal point wasn't there, that number could be so big, it's so limited by that decimal point. And somehow in my heart, I knew that the decimal point was fear. I don't know how, in my dream, I just said, that's fear. That decimal point is fear. That's the imagery, that's the symbolism, it's fear. So I began in my dream, to rebuke that spirit of fear. I rebuked it. I was doing all these things, but that decimal point wouldn't move. And I remember all of a sudden in my dream, I hear this thing like a rocket. And I look, and here is a pencil with a big eraser coming by me like a spaceship. It goes up there and it erases that decimal point. And then when it goes by, I see written on the side of the pencil is the word love. And then the scripture comes to my heart. Love cast out all fear. And God, I mean, that was just a dream I had one night. A friend of mine, he had a dream one night. Let me tell you the other one. We're running out of time. William Branham, who was one of the great guys of the healing movements back in the 40s, he had a dream one night, and God can teach you things by dreams. He was walking down a gravel road one night, and one day, and he comes up around a corner, and there's this big white framed house. He goes to the door, he knocks on the door, he hears in his dream this baby crying, and when he gets inside, this baby is about to die. Baby's in the crib, screaming, crying. Over on the left, he sees a man sitting in a chair. Over on the right, there's another woman sitting in a chair. And the mother leads him over to the bassinet. And he prays in his dream, prays for the baby. And the baby's instantly healed. And Brother Branham had a great healing ministry. And so he writes a dream down. Years later, he's walking down this gravel road. He's left it, filed it away. He's walking down this gravel road. So he's not thinking until he comes around the corner. And there he sees this house. And this house is standing, and instantly he goes back to his dream that he had. So he walks over up to the house, knocks on the door, and when he's knocking, he hears his baby screaming inside, crying. So he comes in, the woman's there, leads him over to the bathroom, he lays hands on the baby and prays, and nothing happens. The baby continues to scream and cry. So he's confused, so he prays again. And then he looks up, and he just looks around, and he sees the woman to his right. But he looks over at the chair on the left where the man was sitting, and the chair is empty. There's no man there. You got to hear him tell this story. He was an old ranger, and I saw it. And he said, so he began to pray. And a few minutes later, the man that was sitting in that chair came to the house, walked in, talked a minute, and went over and sat in that chair. When it did, he said, in his heart, faith just rose. He walked over, laid hands on that baby, and the baby was instantly healed. And he said, God taught him the timing of the Lord, the timing of God, and how just the timing of the Lord. I mean, all in all, I could tell you story after story. We're out of time. Let me tell you, God speaks to you. Last scripture is this. Watch this. For the Lord does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Remember, the prophet was someone who was a revealer of dreams. God wants to do and will do in your life so many things, but God will reveal them. Maybe your life's heading in a direction it shouldn't, and God can give a dream like he did Joseph. But let me tell you this. God never shows you things to scare you, but to prepare you. Get that. Joseph goes. He's under Pharaoh. Pharaoh has a dream. And he dreams these seven fat cows. And man, they're having a great time. They're eating. They're doing everything. And then in his dream, the seven, just skinny, skinny cows come and devour the seven fat cows. And the seven fat cows are gone, but the cows are still skinny, skinny. So all the wise men try to come up with something, and they can't come up with anything. And then they bring Joseph, and Joseph, the Lord is a revealer of dreams. And Joseph prays, and God shows him. And he comes, oh Pharaoh, oh king, God has shown you the future. The next 7 years is going to be plentiful. You're going to have so much. It's going to be unreal plentifulness. But after that, there'll be 7 years of such famine that it will absolutely envelop these 7 years, and there'll be nothing. Now watch this. God did not tell them that to scare them, but to prepare them. So what they did was, that was going to occur. But guess what happened? Because of that forewarning, Joseph was raised up and said, you're in charge. And he begins to now prepare for those 7 years of famine that's coming. And the Bible says he began to make barns and keep records. And he said it got so much they even stopped keeping records. There was just too much grain to even keep records. And so when the 7 years were finished, what happened was, because of that dream that was given, he was prepared for what was about to take place. And then Egypt became the richest nation on the earth because, it took everybody's land, everybody's thing, and everybody, all the world began to come buy grain from them. So whatever God shows you about your life, about your future, about what it may be, he doesn't do that to scare you, but to let you prepare you. It means you can get ready. God can do things in your life. I'm going to tell you, if I could tell you all the dreams that God has given me, I've got them written. I've got a list of them. And God can speak to you in a dream. So everybody stand up today. Would you come on? We're out of time. Tell you a lot more, but let me tell you this. Father, we love you today. We thank you that, Lord, you speak to us not only during the day, but during the night. that 24 hours a day, you're a God that communicates 24/7. And Lord, I just feel that this morning, that some of you, you may need the Lord to intervene on your behalf. You may need God to do something. You may need direction. You may need God to come and work in your life. You may, whatever it may be, but God can speak. And so, Lord, today, Lord, we just thank you for the night seasons. I thank you for the night seasons. I pray, God, for this week as you did during the birth of your son, as you did in the beginning of time with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And, Lord, how Joseph was known as the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. And his brothers thought, well, let's see what becomes of his dreams now and how they all came to pass. And, Lord, you brought these things. And, Lord, today I just thank you for that. I ask you, Lord, we commit this to you. We thank you that you're a God that communicates and wants to communicate. We ask you for wisdom and understanding. We thank you, Lord, that you're the only one that can reveal dreams. You're the only revealer of those things. And so we commit these things to you. We give you all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said amen today. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? God bless you.